Good to be here this evening. It's always a blessing to be with the church here and to be at this conference and to see each one. The theme of the conference for years has been We See Jesus, and as each year passes, we move further into the last days, and we need to see Him more and more and more. Far too often, we see everything but the Lord. The Bible shows us beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ. The Bible, as we open the Bible, we see it's designed to show us Jesus Christ. We can see Christ on every page of Scriptures. We need to see Him clearly. I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 24. This is, of course, Luke's account of a post-resurrection appearance of Christ. We see Jesus appearing to two disciples as they're heading back to Emmaus from Jerusalem. For the sake of time, we'll not read the entire account. We'll refer to it. But notice verses 13 through 15. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And then jump over to verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures, and they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how He was known of them to them in breaking of bread. The theme this year is we see Jesus in the books of Moses. When Jesus took them to the books of Moses, it says there in verse 27 that He expounded unto them things concerning Himself. And it had an effect upon them. Verse 32, their hearts burned within. That is, they felt something very intense within their soul. Their feelings, their emotions were moved. They were influenced. They were impacted by what Christ had expounded of Himself. And by the time you get to the end of the account, we see Christ reveals Himself to them. They know Him. They know Him. There's something more, there's something greater and more marvelous than just seeing Jesus on the pages of Scripture. It is a marvelous thing to open this book and see Jesus. It's a marvelous thing. And our hearts ought to burn within us. But there's something beyond that. And that's what we want to speak upon tonight. Seeing and knowing Christ beyond the pages of Scripture. When we open this book, we need to see Jesus. We need to see Him. We need to see Him so much so that our heart burns within us.
Amen.
But we're not to stop there. We need to advance even to a greater sight of Christ beyond the pages of this book. Again, verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they knew Him. That's where we've got to be. So we have to see Christ beyond the pages of Scripture. By way of background, back in Luke chapter 23, we read, of course, that 3 days prior to our text, that Jesus was crucified and was buried. When we get to Luke 24, verse 1, it's the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning. And we read in verses 2 and 3 of some women that went to the tomb of Jesus, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. We are told in verse 4 that as a result of the empty tomb, these women were much perplexed. Two angels appear. He's not here, but He's risen. And these women in verse 9 then returned from the sepulchre and told these things unto the 11. And notice what it says, and to all the rest. So you have the 11 and you have all the rest. The result of their testimony is recorded in verse 11. And their words seemed to them, to the 11 and all the rest, as idle tales. And they believed them not. Now coming to our text, in verse 13, we read two of them, which takes us back to verse 9, all the rest, which are the them that believe not. So these two in our text, they have heard the testimony that Christ has risen, and they believe not. So they're in doubt concerning the resurrection of Christ. Now concerning these two individuals, we read in verse 18 that one of them is Cleopas. The other is not named, but we read in John 19 and verse 25, there at the cross was Mary, the wife of Cleopas. Could have very well been his wife. We don't know. It's obviously not important who it was. In verse 13, these two are on their way to Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And then what happens on that day is a very personal encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what we need every day.
Amen.
We need a very personal encounter with Jesus Christ. As you read this text, there is a very clear picture of our own day and our own time. Notice, it was a very trying time. Verse 15, it says, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. That'll change your day. Jesus drew near and went with them. It says, Jesus Himself. That is, it's very real. It's very personal. In verse 17, He asked them, basically, what are you talking about that makes you so sad? And their response in beginning with verse 18, Notice the latter part of verse 18. The things which are come to pass there in these days. What are you talking about? The things which are come to pass in these days. As you read those words, you can hear a tone of defeat. It was a very trying time. The things which had come to pass, Christ had been condemned, Christ had been crucified. The tomb is empty. That's basically all they believe, is the tomb is empty. But again, the things, and notice those two words, the things, because they occur seven times in the passage. The things which are come to pass in these days. These days were days of sin. They were days of apostasy. They were days of fierce opposition to Christ. They were days of great trial. They were days of great danger. They were exasperating days. They were tormenting days. They were very much like our day in which you and I live. Then notice that these things that had come to pass had an adverse effect upon these two disciples. So they're walking along. They're talking to one another. It's said three times in the text that they are talking to one another. Verse 14, verse 15, verse 17. So as they're walking along and talking, there are several things that we want to notice about them, because I believe they are a mirror to the condition of many of God's people today. First of all, notice their destination. They're going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jerusalem to the Jew is the city of promise. It's the city of purpose. It's the city of the presence of God. But on the report of an empty tomb, they're heading back to Emmaus. They're heading back to just the routines of their life. They're heading back to the ordinary life of Emmaus. And that pictures so many of God's people today. Headed in the direction of the ordinary. That's where they're headed. Notice also their topic of conversation. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. In verse 18, they're talking about the things which are come to pass. In verse 21, they say, today is the third day since these things were done. Where is their mind? The things. The things that had come to pass. Listen to God's people today. A major theme of conversation is politics. Caught up with the things that are happening. That's where their mind is. This is what they're talking about. They were stuck there. They were stuck in the things that had happened. That's all they could focus upon. Very descriptive of our day. Listen to God's people talk before a church service, following a church service. And much of the conversation is about what? The things which are happening today. That's their focus. Notice also they were caught up in human reasoning. Verse 15, they communed together, talking about these things, and reasoned. The one that they had loved, the one that they had revered and followed, had been made a public spectacle and crucified. The tomb in which he was buried is now empty. And these two are on their way back to Emmaus discussing all that has happened. And they're trying to reason through everything that has happened. They're looking for answers. But where are they looking for answers? They're looking for answers amongst human reasoning. They reasoned amongst themselves. They're trying to figure it all out. They're trying to understand. But they're doing so through human reasoning. And so it is today with many of God's people. We see also they were spiritually blind. In verse 15, as they walked and reasoned among themselves, Jesus Himself, the Almighty One, the Eternal One, the Immortal One, the Immutable One, the Infinite One, the Omniscient One, the All-Sufficient One, the Living, Conquering, Triumphant One, drew near. That's grace, that's mercy. Drew near and went with them. But we read in verse 16, their eyes were holden. Here was the very one who had all the answers they were looking for in human reasoning. And he's right there. But their eyes were holden. Now we realize that God had a purpose in holding their eyes or shutting their eyes. But there is the very one who could fill their life. And this is in the midst of all the things. Who could fill their life with joy and hope and enthusiasm and passion and courage. And they couldn't see Him. They didn't know who it was. And so it is today with many of God's people. We also see they were filled with sadness. Let me tell you something. If all you're going to talk about is the things which are happening, you're going to be sad. Verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? So we see them as they walk along. They're heavy hearted. Look at God's people today. They're heavy hearted. They're sorrowful. They're downcast. They're dispirited. They're discouraged. They're even distraught. You could see it on their faces. You could see it in the way that they walked. And you could hear it in the tone of their conversation. These two disciples are sad. And all the sadness that marks the walk and the talk of God's people today. You see, we're getting a picture of our own day. We see also concerning these two individuals, they were feeling defeated. As they talked about what had come to pass, they say in verse 21, we trust it. Notice it's not we trust, it's we trust it. It's past tense. That is, at one point, we had confidence. At one point, we were sure. At one point, we had conviction. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. What are they saying? They're saying our hopes have been shattered. Our hopes have been shattered. Our assurance and our conviction and our confidence is gone. It was there at one time, but now it's gone. Their faith has been shaken. Their hope has withered. Their joy, their enthusiasm, it's gone. It's evaporated. They're frustrated. God's people are frustrated today. They're frustrated. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. Read their answer to Christ's question. They're very pessimistic. They're defeated. There's no passion to be seen in them. There's no vision. There's no victory. No spiritual ambition. No spiritual zeal about them. And they're headed back to the routines of everyday life. Oh, how that pictures God's people today. We see also that they were fearful and confused. They said in verse 22, certain women also of our company made us astonished. What had come to pass to them was sudden, it was unexpected, and it brought chaos and fear into their lives. And the lives of many of God's people are marked by chaos and fear. God's people are scared to death of 2020. And they talk about it a lot. They're very frightened. We see also they lack faith. Again, we've already seen that they are of the group that believe not. So they lack faith. Verse 25, Jesus said unto them, told them that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. God's people lack faith today in God. We see also Christ was no longer relevant to their present situation. At one time, these two individuals found Christ to be exciting. He was very enlightening and uplifting to them. But as you listen in on their conversation, all that is gone. All that is gone. Their experience, their enjoyment of Christ is in the past. Jesus, the one who was the answer to all their problems, to all their difficulties, to all their needs and their circumstances, He's no longer relevant to them. All they're focusing upon is the things which came to pass. Christ is no longer relevant to their lives. How many people today, they'll read this book and they can see Christ on the pages of this book, but translating that over into their life doesn't happen. He's not relevant to their life. I believe probably most of God's people fall into that category. Jesus was no longer relevant to them. So as you look at these two, you listen to them, they are a vivid portrait of many of God's people today. Living in days of great danger, in fierce opposition, days of tremendous stress. And there they are, unbelieving, caught up in human reasoning. Hope and assurance, all gone. Joy and enthusiasm, gone. Discouraged, disappointed, defeated, pessimistic, fearful, and confused. They have no spiritual power. They have no spiritual passion. There's no spiritual ambition or zeal. And they're headed in the direction of the routine, the ordinary, into a life of obscurity. That's the picture that is before us. And I believe it's a pretty descriptive picture of ourselves. They are brought, while they're in this condition, this is what we need. They are brought to see Jesus, first of all, in the Scriptures. Again, we read those wonderful words in verse 15. Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And this was the beginning of changed and altered lives. This is where it began.
Amen.
On the Emmaus Road, these two would have a fresh discovery of Jesus Christ. They would have a fresh experience of Jesus Christ. The truth is, had not Jesus gone unto them, they would have sunk deeper in the condition that they were in. And they would have continued going in the direction of Emmaus, and they would have lived out the remaining days just following the routine. But here's where it all begins. Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. And then notice what happens. First of all, the scriptures. Again, remember the condition they're in. The scriptures were made clear concerning himself. We read in verse 25, again, these two were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And in verse 27, Jesus begins at Moses, and then he proceeds to take them through the Old Testament prophets. And what it says is that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures himself. That's not what it says. Expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things. The things. That's details. What were they talking about? The things of the world. The things that had happened. And Jesus Christ showed unto them the things concerning himself. Again, it does not say that he expounded unto them himself. He did. But it says much more than that. He expounded unto them the things concerning himself. That tells me that he did not speak in generalities. He got down to the details. There in the book of Moses, the books of Moses, and then proceeded to the prophets. So what has Jesus done here? He has drawn their attention away from the things which had come to pass, and he has drawn their attention to the things concerning himself.
Amen.
Tell me that's not what we need today.
Amen.
As they listened intently, what it means there, he expounded. That means he explained unto them. And no one could explain it like Jesus.
Amen.
He explained unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We live in a day, people just want fluff. They don't want the details of scripture. They don't want to dig in the scripture. Just give me a little bit to last me for this hour, and that's good enough. But he expounded the things concerning himself. He explained them. He interpreted them. No one can interpret it like Christ. He made clear unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what he did was he took them deep in the Old Testament types and prophecies, and he explained. And he clarified the things concerning himself. Perhaps he took them into Eden, when Adam and Eve's nakedness was covered with coats of skins. And he expounded upon himself. Perhaps he took them to the promised seed in Genesis. And he says, see that? That's me. That's me. Perhaps he took them to the ark. He said, see that ark? And he took them through the ark. That's me. That's me. Perhaps he took them to Abraham and Isaac. You see Isaac there offered up? That's me. That's me. Perhaps he took them to Jacob's ladder. Saying, see that ladder? That's me. That's me. Perhaps he took them to Joseph. Most complete type of Christ there is. He says, that's me. I believe that Jesus took them by way of scriptures to the many blood-sprinkled altars found throughout the books of Moses. See that unblemished and innocent sacrifice upon that altar? That's me. That's me. Now, we're speaking in generalities. Jesus expounded. I believe that he took them to the burning bush. He said, you see that bush there on fire? And it's not consumed? That's me. That's me. Took them to the Passover lamb. See that Passover lamb? See its blood sprinkled upon the doorpost, sparing them from the death angel? That's me. Their hearts are burning as he's expounding these things. God's word is preached and Christ is presented. This is not what we're to be doing. Our hearts are to be burning.
Amen.
Seeing Christ on the pages of Scripture. No doubt he took them through the tabernacle, pointing to all the various furnishings and all the details. That's me. That's me. Perhaps he took them to the God-sent manna and the smitten rock. That's me. The high priest and the offerings and the feast days. He takes them to all these things and he expounds upon himself, saying over and over and over, can you see? That's me. That's me. Notice the result. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the Scriptures? How many times you and I have opened this book and we read something and we see something for the first time and, oh, it's great. And our hearts begin to burn. And what do? Close it up, go to work? No, you can't. You can't get over this. You want more. And there is more. And there is more, and that's our point. So they begin to feel this intense passion inside of them. Their hearts are ablazed by what Jesus has explained and clarified concerning himself. Their hearts have come under the influence of the opened word. When that happens, your heart burns within. There was a stirring. The fire burning their hearts caused them to have an overwhelming desire for Christ. Notice verse 28. And they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. So they've listened to Christ explain and clarify the Scriptures concerning the things of himself. And they eventually arrive to where they live. These two turn toward the house. But Jesus, it looks like he's just going to keep on walking. In verse 29 it says, but they constrained him saying, abide with us. Don't leave. That's what happens when you see Christ in this book. You're not in a hurry to get out that door. You don't act like the building's on fire. You want more. Just as a result of seeing him in this book. It's as if they said, don't leave. Please, please don't leave. Come in. Tell us again. Tell us again. Tell us again about the ark. Tell us again about the Passover lamb. Tell us, show us again and again. That's what happens when you see Jesus in the pages of this book. You want more? Let me tell you something. If you read the Scriptures and you hear the Scriptures preached and you don't want more, you haven't seen anything. But when you see him, this book's hard to close. And you don't get over it. You don't get over it. Abide with us. It made seeing Christ in the pages of Scripture made them want more of the presence of Christ. How do we know when we've seen Jesus in this book, we want more? We want more. Perhaps every church has them. Get to be about 2 minutes to noon and they start closing their Bibles. They haven't seen anything. They haven't seen a thing. Because this book's hard to close when you see Jesus. They couldn't get enough. And when you truly see Jesus in this book, you can't get enough. But then notice lastly, there was something more. Oh, how blessed it is to open this book and to see Jesus. But I'm here to tell you tonight there's something even better than that. There's something more. Verse 29, and he went in to tarry with them. Verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. Their hearts are burning concerning what Jesus has shown them. They're sitting at the table with Jesus Christ. And notice he took bread and he blessed it. He prayed over it. And he broke that bread. He broke a portion off and gave it to them. And then notice verse 31. And their eyes were opened. Now their eyes were opened when Jesus was explaining to them concerning himself. But their eyes are opened differently here. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And they knew him. This is real. What they saw in this book has now become a personal reality in their life. You can see great truths in the Word of God. But that's not enough.
Amen.
They need to become personal reality in your life. We hope to see Jesus in the books of Moses this weekend. But we also hope to advance further than that. And that is that it is a personal reality to us. It is something that exceeds seeing him in the book. Then notice verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. But so much has changed. So much has changed. And they returned to Jerusalem. Their course has been changed. When they saw Jesus on the pages of this book, their hearts burned. But when he became a personal reality to them, their whole course was changed. That's going a little further. Seeing Jesus in the scriptures caused an activity in their hearts. And seeing and experiencing him personally change their course. And they head back to Jerusalem. And I believe their pace is faster. Mm-hmm. A lot has changed. Their pace is faster. There's no longer sadness. Now there's enthusiasm and passion, zeal, and joy. And I don't believe they're talking about the things that they were talking about before. Having arrived at the place where the apostles were, notice verse 35. And they told what, there it is again, things. But notice what things they're talking about. We're done in the way. Their conversation has changed. They're no longer talking about the things of the world, the trials. They're talking about the things, the events of that walk to Emmaus. The conversation has changed. And they told what things were done in the way. Can you imagine? He came to us. And he explained and he showed to us and he made clear. He's the ark. He's the Passover lamb. And on they could go. They went into the details. Oh, how blessed it would be if instead of going into all the details of everyday life, we would go into the details of personal experience of Jesus Christ. And that's what they were doing. Notice what it says, and they told what things were done in the way, how that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Seeing Jesus in the scriptures and seeing Jesus in a very personal way and experiencing Jesus in a personal way lifted them above the things of the day. That's what we need so desperately. I pray during this conference, Jesus himself would draw near. Well, how do I know when that happens? Oh, you'll know it. Amen. And then he would open the scriptures and show us the things concerning himself. Filling us with the holy fire of God burning in our hearts. And beyond that, he would open our eyes, causing us to see and know him even more. Because that's what we need today. Amen. We don't need to be more versed on politics. Politics aren't going to fix our problems.
Amen.
We need to be more versed on the things concerning himself.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be thinking about. That's what we're to be talking about with one another, because it's encouraging. Oh, that we would go from here feeling. Oh, don't talk about feelings. We're Baptist. Feelings are real. Don't tell me when the Lord saved your soul you didn't feel something. Feeling, seeing, and experiencing the presence of a resurrected, living, reigning Christ. That the scriptures would be opened, our souls would be fed, our hearts ablaze, our eyes open to the reality of Christ. That will renew our outlook upon life. That will give us a new purpose in life. That will fill us with passion and zeal, enthusiasm, conviction. When Christ becomes real, you'll have conviction. You'll have boldness. You'll have courage. You'll have diligence. There'll be a consuming desire, consuming resolve to be faithful. It appears that there's a new definition for faithfulness today. Those who would have been considered unfaithful decades ago are now considered faithful. This will make you want to be faithful.
Amen.
And surrendered. And committed. And pleasing to the one who saved our soul.
Amen.
Yes, we need to see Jesus. We need to see him. We need to see him on the pages of Scripture. But we need to move beyond that and see him in our everyday life, relevant to ourselves, relevant to our situation and our circumstances. We pray that the Lord would expound things concerning himself. And we pray that Jesus would walk with us in the way. And our eyes would be open. And we would know him. Know him even more. And one more thing. How many times someone has come and they'll say, it was like He was sitting right there. And they're almost trying to explain it away because they don't want you to think they're charismatic. But we all ought to be able to identify. There's been times in our life it's like he's right there.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Those times shouldn't be so far. There shouldn't be such a gap in those times. Oh, that would be an everyday experience. That he's right there. He's so real. He's right there. So I pray, because you can see Christ in the Scriptures, that doesn't mean that he's a reality in your life. But I pray that you would see him in the Scriptures and that indeed he would be a reality in your life, whatever your circumstances are at this moment, that he would be a living reality.
Amen. 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 Let's stand.